And welcome back to Late to the Party with Travis Tate. I am Jake, and
I am Travis Tate.
It's funny the way things started today. The Electronic 3 is going on in California, and one of our favorite video games popped up. Star Citizen is going into Alpha 3. Something or other, which I think doesn't even like. Beta is when I think a game is kind of in a built state, but you know, they just need people to test it and run the bugs. Like Alpha is like they barely got the bones going. So this is a game that's been 6 years in development, millions and millions of back dollars, and it's still not even really it's not a toddler yet.
That's kind of crazy, and man.
We watched a very impressive trailer of a game that's never going to even be like that. So.
Yeah, the trailer kind of looked like Andromeda or something.
Are you convinced that Star Citizen is real now?
I mean, I can post stuff on YouTube. I have videos on there. That doesn't mean HBO is going to come a-calling.
So Star Citizen, not believed by Travis Tate just yet.
I don't know. I mean, it could have been. It's got to be at least real enough to get people to
Are you convinced that this is just a very elaborate goof on you?
Well, geez, if that was the case, then it would be very elaborate. No, it's like the Don Quixote movie, man. The Terry Gilliam one. Didn't it take like 30 years and it went through so many different incarnations?
Fury Road, I think, took 10 or 20 years to make itself.
That was at least worth it.
That worked out. Terry Gilliam. You like Terry Gilliam movies?
I haven't seen them all, but the ones I've seen, I like.
What Terry Gilliam movies do you like?
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. That's a great one.
Love it. You like Brazil? Brazil, I think,
I never
is
saw
the
Brazil.
I like Brazil a lot.
Time Bandits was Terry Gilliam, right?
I haven't seen Time Bandits for so long. Gosh. I liked it when I was a kid. I don't know how I'd feel about it now.
Time Bandit scared the crap out of me.
Yeah,
when I
the
was
big
a kid.
The big head going down the hall.
Yes,
is that what we're?
Well, no, it made me a little bit afraid of little people because there's that scene in the end where they're swinging from cage to cage to get out, but the one with the mustache, or maybe he had a beard, I can't even remember now. He grabs a rat and bites its head off and starts eating it, and that scared me more than anything. When I was that
there's
was
a lot going
to
on
me
in that movie, and that was the thing. That's impossible.
No, that scared me so
much. Poltergeist is the top level of scary movie.
It's true. We were at a store here we called the DI. It's like everywhere else.
We
is
don't
Goodwill.
Call it the DI. It calls itself the DI.
It does call it the DI. It's like Goodwill.
Mormon yard sale.
Right. When I was a kid and there was a little person working there and I was hiding behind things like kind of watching him out of the corner, and he finally got fed up. He's like, why are you doing this?
All of a
why
sudden he grabbed you and bit your head off and started consuming you.
I'm just a person. I was just afraid of him. I didn't want him like eating anything he shouldn't be eating.
See, all the things in that movie is John Cleese Robin Hood in that?
Yes, John Cleese is Robin Hood in that.
That didn't scare you. The giant with the boat on his head didn't scare you. Them sticking a bellows into his head.
Nope.
Full of roofies didn't scare you.
Also, the kid kind of looked like the kid from not Sigmund the Sea Monster, the H.R. Puff and stuff.
Those, as far as I'm concerned, those are the same kid.
Yeah, it looks exactly like that.
I
kid.
Really
kind of creeped me out too.
Animated. Also, Travis did also watch the opening for Jason the Wheeled Warriors this morning.
I did. That was something that I honestly do not remember.
I didn't remember. It was not sentient motorcycles. It was just plucky teenagers in like tanks and then sentient cars that were also kind of plants.
Yeah, and the bad guys were giant brain people,
something like that. But the big deal out of it was just like I really kind of want to know who did the song for that opening, because they were really going for it.
It was almost like Hulk Hogan's theme song.
Were you also American? Aware that there was a Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestlers cartoon?
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, I had little figures for that. I was on board with that.
Okay. But yeah, she's just very like you I wouldn't be surprised if you found out that was like Wasp doing that or something like that.
It was definitely heartfelt and long. It did tell a story, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Brave Star, a little more on the point his theme song. Yeah. It tells you exactly what his powers are.
What his powers are.
And easy to make fun of.
I think that really is all it does, is it just tells you his powers.
Of course, I changed it when I was a kid. Eyes of a bat, ears of a fish, strength of a worm, speed of a turtle. Brave Star. And the toys were like 8 feet tall, too.
Were they? I don't even remember Brave Star toys.
They were at least 8 to 9 inches tall. They were like that tall. You couldn't use it with...
Like a Barbie?
Yeah. Maybe even taller. You couldn't just like mix it in with your He-Man or Thundercats.
Did you just have Brave Star, or did you have his trusty friend who would also let him ride him?
I didn't have any of them. I knew a kid that had them.
We all knew a kid.
Yeah. He was the Brave Star kid.
All right.
He was a Brave Star kid.
I only had the friend who had a Neo Geo. I think it was a Neo Geo. I always get confused which one was the really expensive computer thing. And I guess that's a commonality of, you know, when you were a kid, you either had a friend who you only liked because they had something expensive, or you were that kid, which I was most definitely not.
We had a Texas Instrument. Do you remember those? You took them up to a TV. Of,
yeah.
You could play like Qbert and Frogger.
Yeah. Yeah, the star of my household. We did not have anything expensive, but my parents were expert videotape bootleggers. We had a huge box full of videotapes that had 3 or 4 movies on it because we had 2 VCRs. And I like that I was famous among most of my friends. Like, a large percentage of the people I grew up with would say, like, yeah, the first R-rated movie I saw was at Jake's house. We watched RoboCop.
Home box office for reals.
Bootleg box office.
Yeah, we used to do that too. There was always the rumor that some of these are scrambled, you can't do it, but I never found one
No, we got them. We got them all.
That's how we had Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, all of those.
We did have, this can't be scientifically proven, but we did have The Great Outdoors and the part where John Candy shoots the bear in the butt at the end and, you know, blows it off to... Ball on both ends. We were having a birthday party at the time, and you know, all these kids had not seen it and were just losing their minds that the bear has like a human butt. And that bootleg tape had like it got scrambled at that moment. And the theory on it was we were just so enamored with a bear's.
You wore it out.
We didn't wear it out.
We wore out the bear's. We beat it up.
We were so excited that we jostled it. I guess I don't know. It's just a weird bit in history. So since our last recording, Travis, what have you been up to? Have you any milestones? Any
let's see.
Any achievements?
Went to a baseball game. We did like a memorial for my aunt that passed away a couple months ago, and I got super sunburnt. So my face is really red. My nose looks like the devil's hammer toe or something. I don't know.
Like, it's... you were gonna say something not safe for work there.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you know about the devil in his Bunyan. Other regions?
Bunyan, that's the word Bunyan. I was looking for. Okay, Bunyan. That's fair. It's all gross and crinkled and not looking good. Other than that, not much.
So how's a baseball game these days? I haven't been a baseball game in lots of years. I haven't been since it was Dirks Field, since it was kind of just a dirt league baseball team. Like, once they built a stadium there, it lost a lot of charm for me.
It's actually really nice. You go on Monday nights, it's family nights, $5. Plus you get a hot dog. I don't work for the Salt Lake Bees, by the way. That's not who employs me. This is a free plug brought to you by the Salt Lake Bees.
That sounds like something someone, you know, under the thumb of the Bee Illuminati would say.
All right. Full disclosure, brought to you by the Salt Lake Bees. It was I think Hispanic night, so they were the Abejos. Instead of the bees? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How?
That was pretty cool, though. How was I was it? Hoping instead of hot dogs they had tacos, but I couldn't find a taco anywhere. I was a little bummed out by that.
More was a pity.
I love a taco.
Yeah, who don't? Like, tacos are universal for joy. I mean,
the games itself, though, I mean, you don't really care who wins. Doesn't matter. So you just sit there, eat some peanuts, get a soda or whatever drink you want. Just enjoy the view.
The kids enjoy themselves?
Yeah, more or less.
Good enough, good enough. So, I watched a movie the other day. I delved into a movie called Shin Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Shin Godzilla?
I haven't.
Did you see the Godzilla, I guess, reboot from a couple of years back?
Yes. Yeah.
You enjoy that one?
The one with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch playing a married couple? Yes.
Was that that? Wasn't Quicksilver. I mean, that, yes, I guess it was. That was Scarlet Witch, wasn't it?
It was Quicksilver.
Boy.
They were brother and sister in the Avengers Age of Ultron, and then they were married and there was some booty grabbing. It was a little weird.
I don't know which is the abomination, like that sort of possible incestuous relationship in a kaiju movie or Avengers Age of Ultron. I don't know. This was not that. Shin Godzilla is a movie from Japan.
Okay.
Of recent that kind of goes into the more traditional sort of costume based, but the thing that really got me was how would you feel about a Godzilla movie that is less about the monster and more about bad government bureaucracy during a Godzilla attack?
That's what a lot of the old Godzilla movies are about.
Are they really?
The Japanese ones?
Are they? Because this one was less about Godzilla attacking the city and was more terse moments in a boardroom where it was also dubbed very poorly.
That's the best part.
Which, yeah, was the best part. But it would be these terse moments of a close-up of the side of someone's face, and they would turn and look at the camera and badly dub say, like, "Prime Minister, you must make the decision now." And it would pull in on this prime minister who looked very sweaty and worried, like, "Is now the time for a decision?" And it...
Sounds it was like just, Star Trek, the motion picture.
It was just lots of... It was really interesting. I guess maybe I need to do my history on Godzilla movies, but it was really interesting from the more Americanized ones, which is usually about a plucky protagonist finding a way to talk warmongering generals into a more... like, we're bombing them for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons, sort of solution to Godzilla.
Have I mentioned I have worms? I have some worms. That's Matthew Broderick in Godzilla, everybody. A lot of the old Godzilla movies have a lot of downtime.
Well, no, I knew that was one of the harder things, you know, if you're going into it and not a huge Godzilla fan. The new one was there's not a ton of Godzilla in that Godzilla movie.
Right.
Which was all right, except for there became less Bryan Cranston in the movie, which was really what was pushing that one forward for a while.
Yeah, when he's the star of the movie and he dies halfway through. Spoiler alert, it was like 3 years ago. that slows it down.
So, yeah. But, hey, Shin Godzilla, check it out.
Does it tie in at all? Is it same style as the reboot?
No. Okay. You know what?
There's a guy in a rubber suit.
I'm gonna spoil a bunch of it. Fast forward for a while, I guess. If you're coming at Shin Godzilla late, it took me a little while to figure out that it was Godzilla. The initial thing is there's like a bubbling red in the water outside this harbor, and then this sort of almost worm-like, fish-like creature starts. Kind of leaps up into the city and starts pushing cars and just moving toward the center of the city. And it's like long, it's got gills, it's got big fish eyes, but it has these legs that's just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And as the movie goes further and further, it's Godzilla, but it just keeps evolving a little bit here and there. And by the end
of it, weird.
It's, you know, Godzilla shooting lasers out of his back. And
is it an origin story, or is it like one of his Godzilla's children?
Best I can tell, it's an origin story on this one. More of a side story, I guess.
So Shin Godzilla, the sequels, I assume, will be Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes Godzilla in that sequence.
That would work with the way that it evolves, because you got little T-Rex arms for a lot of it.
Oh, nice.
So I've watched that. pardon me. Keeping up on my Westworld, keeping up on my nerd guy soap opera. You seen any of
I've
that?
I've never seen an episode.
I don't have HBO. It is very much like Jurassic Park, but what if we had cowboys instead of dinosaurs? Yeah, very existential cowboys instead of dinosaurs.
I live in a place where we do have cowboys. They're real.
not existential ones. The cowboys that we have here are not generally worried about
we get the cowboy poets
about the nature of their being. They're more worried about if Travis Tritt's coming to town.
That's right. Travis Tritt. One time
spoilers, Travis Tritt is always coming to town.
One time I was doing a private gig and they thought Travis Tritt was doing the private gig, not Travis Tate. So not only did they not get a famous country singer, they got stand-up comedy. They were a little bummed out.
Again, doesn't sound like we have existential cowboys here if they saw, Travis Tritt. Like, no, that's an A and a T and an
so
E.
So close. So close. Yesterday, actually, I just remembered I watched Lady in the Water. I was late to the party on that.
I don't think I've seen that one. What's Lady in the Water?
Oh, it's the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I kind of thought that might be it. Is it the...
It's got Bryce Dallas Howard and Paul Giamatti and M. Night Shyamalan.
Is that... There's one of his that I think the story behind it is that his daughter wrote a kind of a story, and he took the bones of what his daughter wrote and wrote a screenplay.
I could believe that this was written by a child. So
assuming. Is it the one? I think I've heard something about. There's like a guy who has like one regular arm and then one really strong arm.
Yeah.
I think that's what that movie is. Is that like his daughter or a child? Somewhere in his vicinity had written a story, like a bedtime story of their own. And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to make a movie of this. I'm going to take it and find ways to write it so that it's a movie.
It was so weird and unnecessary and stupid.
Why did you watch Lady in the Water?
It was my oldest son loves to watch terrible movies. And that was one that he had on our Netflix queue. We still get the original Netflix movies along with streaming, and that was one that we've had since April, to be honest.
So you
have
this on disc?
Yeah, we watched it on
disc. I have a copy of Kong Skull Island somewhere in my house, and I'm starting to sweat a little bit about where it may or may not have gone.
I love it. That's a good movie.
I thought it was fine.
Perfectly Speaking of Godzilla, those are going to tie in together.
They are going to fight each other.
Yeah, or hey, are they going to team up?
Guess what? Spoilers. They're going to fight for a while. Each one of them will have their moments where they shine. Neither of them will really win. And in the end, they'll team up to fight the real enemy.
See, they're going to become friends. And then people are going to want them to sign the Wachovia Accords or whatever that was.
You know what that was also the plot to?
Avengers.
That wasn't
what
I mean.
What?
There was like that brief moment in Avengers where they kind of half-assedly went at each other.
Yeah.
And then quickly stopped and teamed up. No, that is the exact plot of Close. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
They're going to find out Godzilla and King Kong's mothers were both named Martha.
Martha. Why did you say that?
It's going to have just a subtitle. That's your mom's name too?
It's going to show a little tiny Godzuki type Godzilla watching his mother get shot in front of a movie theater.
No. Giant pearls falling to the ground.
Killing millions.
Matthew Broderick there going like, we all know this story. Why is it in every movie? I don't know. So now that we've gotten that out of our system.
Lady in the Water. Don't check it
Lady
out.
Lady in the Water. Sleep on it. Let's go to the hermetically sealed laptop and I will find something. Dateline. White House press briefing room. There is a wet bag of socks just kind of making its way around the White House press briefing room.
Yeah, his name is Donald Trump.
Yeah, but this wet bag of socks is actually getting business done. A mysterious bag of socks of an unknown degree of dampness has been reportedly wandering around the White House press briefing room.
Kind of seems like Bill Clinton might be visiting.
Oh, God, if that's the case, like those... That's not water.
It's not water.
Gross. Here's a photo of it. No one knows where these came from.
It's a ghost.
Ghost socks? Ghost pranks?
What president was famous for socks?
That would be Nixon.
Grover Cleveland? No, Nixon?
I think it was Nixon's dog's was named Socks, I believe.
Was it a dog or a cat? Socks seems like a cat's name.
I'm gonna go out on, like, I don't know the answer to this, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, like, exact knowledge of ex-presidents' pet names. Like, I'm gonna be okay.
It's got to be somebody doing some sort of protest to the things going on, but also they don't want to get fired.
What political message is behind a wet pair of socks?
I mean, okay, let's break it down. Socks. How do you get wet socks? It could be raining. It could be global warming, climate change message. That's about all I can come up with right now. it's definitely a climate change message, everybody. The wet bag of socks. Also, they're white socks. So
they're looking at if you
there's
you
race close in there.
There's a little bit of. You know, I guess I don't want to go the race way, but there is some definitely. Those are dirty socks.
Yeah. The dirty white people in the White House.
Follow the money.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Drain the washing machine.
See, we just figured it out, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we definitely got that one. So it's a quickie. Dateline stuff I would like to bring back about movies. Warner Brothers has slated to create 1,000 hours of new Looney Tunes shorts.
Oh,
to use nice. in various ways. Some of those, like, before movies.
That would be awesome.
Also, the really cool thing about it is that they're planning to. It's not going to be a unified thing like in the past. There have been newer incarnations of Looney Tunes, but it's always been like, oh, we have a new TV series. It's this guy who's in charge of it. It's going to look like this. It's going to feel like this.
What was the last Looney Tunes TV series? Was it the superhero one?
I don't know.
Where they were like Iron Man. You don't. That was like Kids WB, early 2000s.
That one passed me by.
They were superheroes, and Elmer Fudd was like Iron Man. It's
well,
weird.
That seems like a gross miscasting.
But it was kind of serious. I mean, it had some humor in it, but it was meant to be like, Looney Tunes are awesome. You know, it was supposed to be like they were cool.
Yeah, that's a dead miss. Yeah. So at work, at the warehouse, we have a TV upstairs, and to the best of my knowledge, and I'm pretty sure I'm 100% on this, no actual children work at our warehouse, but a lot of the time when you go up there, like Disney XD or Cartoon Network is on.
That's interesting.
I caught a little bit of a Looney Tunes. It seems like they were kind of going in the short format, but it was a cohesive thing where it's, you know, one vision, one look, kind of the same tone. What they're going to be doing with this is they're going to have different creators, different directors, different art styles. So... you know, back in the day when you had like Friz Freleng stuff had a different tone from like, say, Mel Blanc was the guy doing it. Who were the other guys that did them? At any rate, like Chuck Jones had different stuff. Like,
right.
So we're going to have different guys making these, and some of them will appear before movies, which probably you'll unfortunately only get that with the next like DC movie. So you'll have to put up with that.
You can get it for like a,
but they'll probably have internet shorts. They'll probably have ones back to back on like.
What are Warner Brothers movies now? They got the Fantastic Beasts.
Is that Warner Brothers?
Yeah, I think so. Harry Potter was.
I only think of that in terms of I know that they have the like DC franchises.
They'll do another Harry Potter. It'll be Harry Potter and the Mystery of the Wet Socks or something.
Do you think Dobby's at the White House?
Yeah, that's it. It's no. Donald Trump has killed so many house elves that he's just got a collection of socks that people gave him so they could be free. But
I'm going to encourage people to follow the money again. I don't know.
But it's even darker than we thought. It's the dark magic web.
Yeah.
So Harry Potter is my friend.
Donald Trump staff house elf? Is that what?
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of that, Travis.
We must build a wall on the border.
I don't.
You got there.
Dobby wants to be on the other side.
Dobby sympathizes. So I'm just saying. Dobby's a good person.
So he wouldn't be on that staff.
No, Creature would be on the Trump. Dobby is infiltrating the White
House. I think
I'm
really only digging. I'm really only pushing this to dig how deep your Harry Potter knowledge is.
It's pretty deep.
Slightly shame you for it.
It's kind of deep.
So with this, I don't know. I'm excited about this.
I've been peeing on the socks.
Just gonna keep tripping me up with Dobby. So we'll take that away. We'll go to
sorry.
So I found this a really interesting story about a man made a toaster from a dead rabbit.
That's messed up.
Did a man make a toaster out of a dead rabbit, Travis?
Okay, is this one of the true or false things?
This is one of the true or false things.
That is so weird that it has to be true.
It is true. I'm going to show you this picture. Check out this toaster a man made.
That's disgusting.
From a dead rabbit.
Ugh.
The key feature, I mean, he's wrapped the carcass of a rabbit around a toaster. Probably the main feature we're going to be looking at here is, you know, that's the skin of a dead rabbit, but cheap Michelle's bought googly eyes for eyes.
Is the tail the little button you push down to put the toast inside?
That does appear to be the case.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Then I am on board now.
So
it's creativity. I don't know what the crumb tray is made of. But
this is a 22 year old man. Don't so young.
I mean, that's kind of a cry for help.
That's the cry for help of a 37-year-old man, at least.
He's getting an early start.
How do you find the time at 22 to, not find the time, but how do you have such a wealth of time that you're not using on amazing things that you go, you know what, I got to stretch Fluffy around this toaster.
Does it say where he got the rabbit?
It does say at the bottom here that he says all the dead animals are, because he also he also made a toothbrush holder from a rat.
Okay,
but he does say here that all dead animals are sourced ethically from pet shops and pest controllers.
So which, they died again, at the pet shop. Is that ethical?
Which again, this guy is living in a place where pet shops and pest controllers have been working. There was a day. There was a day on those jobs. You're at a pest control, Johnny Pest Control, driving around, like on your window, and this guy comes at you with, "You doing anything with your dead stock?"
Yeah, y'all got any rabbits? Well, I got a toaster needs covering. Oh, rabbit looked pretty good on there.
That's that is.
I met a lady online. She says she like rabbit toasters. Make me a rabbit toaster.
Don't bring her home. She gonna become my wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put some mustard on them biscuits. Mm-hmm.
Timely reference. So
that was a sexual innuendo. Everybody, put some mustard on them biscuits.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, I'm gonna cut you in half with my lawnmower blade.
Are you insinuating that sharpening my lawnmower sling blade was all a metaphor?
Yes, it was.
Dang.
It was a metaphor for don't be homophobic, everybody. That's what it was a metaphor for. It was equality. John Ritter's character was gay and everybody was afraid of him.
John Ritter was in that?
Yes.
Man.
But Billy Bob, I don't care. I don't care none. You're good to that boy. That's all that matters to me. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even watch Three's Company.
Yeah, I didn't see you trip over a couch and stuff. Mm-hmm.
This is the worst sling blade. I can just do mustard on biscuits.
We're doing sling. I feel like no one's going to call us on that one. I was going to start going into other John Ritter movies. It was a
Problem Child.
I was just going to use him. Problem Child. He was in that one where he went in the TV, but I can't remember the name of that one right now.
I know what you're talking
something
about.
Something like remote control or something.
Yeah, something like that. I think Problem Child would have been better if the kid was talking like Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
That kid, I mean, going back, like, Time Bandits never creeped me out, but the kid from Problem Child really creeped me out.
What is that kid doing now?
I mean...
Oh. He's putting rabbits over toasters. That's what he's doing right now.
Wow.
Plus, Gilbert Godfrey was in there.
I saw Gilbert Godfrey on TV the other night.
Gilbert.
Still going.
He's got a... documentary on Hulu documentary? Right now.
I've listened to his podcast. He has a very fascinating, like, old Hollywood type podcast.
He's
awesome.
He's so quiet and like super.
This is a gentleman that you've worked with at Wise Guys.
I've met him. I haven't opened for him, but yeah, he's super nice. Really, just quiet. Yeah. When he's not yelling,
I was gonna say
on stage.
You would not think that of Gilbert Gottfried, quiet man.
The Quiet Man. We had a discussion about the movie The Quiet Man yesterday at my parents' house, actually.
I don't think I've seen The Quiet Man.
It's a John Wayne movie.
That's an oldish movie, yes?
Yes, it's from the 50s.
That is a movie that I've seen the cover of a guy looking very surprised from about here up several times.
It's got John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara in it. And my grandma was here from Florida, so we were talking about old movies. And my dad talked about The Quiet Man, and my brother's never seen it. And he's like, what's it about? I said, well, it's this movie about, takes place in Ireland, and this village gets really excited because this American comes to town and smacks around the loud woman in town. And that's pretty much what it's about.
The movie.
Is
about?
He was a boxer that accidentally killed somebody in the ring. To get away from his demons, he moves...
to redeem himself.
Right, he moves back to his ancestral town in Ireland and somehow gets hooked up with, I mean, you call it the uppity mouthy woman, or maybe she's just smart.
Is this the hero of the movie?
Yeah.
Sounds like it is aged very well.
At one point, I think he puts her over his knee and spanks her and breaks the bed, and people walk in the next day because it was their honeymoon. They're like, ooh, broke the bed.
Chilling.
He doesn't really punch her in the face or anything.
Does he slap her?
He does beat the crap out of her. I think he does. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, John Wayne, the Duke. That was the stomach cancer. It wasn't John Wayne.
Just like Ambien makes you racist, stomach cancer makes you abusive to women.
Go smack a redheaded woman. Well, I tell you. I'm not going to do a John Wayne impression.
Well.
Little lady.
Little lady, I'm afraid that...
Hey, pilgrim.
The stomach cancer is really giving me a bout of the slappies. I think that's going other places. Sorry.
I keep interrupting.
No,
back to the rabbit toaster.
I think we drilled as deep as we could on dead rabbit toaster.
Have you ever had to deal with a dead rabbit, Jake?
Dead rabbit. I've dealt with several dead animals in my life. I don't know that rabbit has ever been on that roster.
We had a pet rabbit that died right before I was leaving to open for Tom Green. It was like the first big famous person I was going to open. Yeah, it was actually. I was holding a dead rabbit before opening for Tom Green. But it was my son's rabbit. He was crying. I needed to leave, but we still held a funeral. And I go in the backyard, dig up the hole, put it in a box, bury it, all that, you know, say a little prayer, all this good energy stuff. And then I'm driving and I'm going, what if the rabbit wasn't actually dead yet? What if it was just like in a coma? What if it's still alive and now it's clawing in the box? And it's haunted me ever since. So that's what I thought of when you brought up the rabbit toaster.
That is
terrifying. Just in case, you know, snap the neck or something. That's all I'm saying. Just to be safe. You don't want it to die alive.
My son has a goldfish that has clung to life in ways that that we cannot fathom. He's had it for, the better part of a year and a half now.
Wow.
And we've cleaned out the tank several times, and every time we clean it out, it gets to where the tank is very dirty because we're busy, I guess.
Right. It's a goldfish.
And it's also a goldfish. We'll clean it out and put it back in, and you think that the fish would be stoked. Like, wow, look, I can see again.
Right.
It will fall to the bottom and just lay there for the better part of a day. We did, the first time this happened, thought it was dead. Oh, yeah. And you know, in secret mail, we're like, all right, the thing's dead. We can finally be done with this thing. Go in and go to scoop it. Shoots off again. And
the survivor.
Kingdom, much like Reba.
They're going to make a remote control out of me. I got to stay alive.
Okay. I don't think we could fit the fish over a toaster.
You just got to roll it out, Jake. Just roll it out.
So a John Goodman classic is about to be remade.
Ooh.
It is going to be helmed by James Wan, whose horror bona fides include Saw and The Conjuring. The director of Saw and The Conjuring, what John Goodman classic do you think he'd be remaking?
Saw and The Conjuring, I hope it's King Ralph. Let me think a little more.
When I was a kid, when I was young, I for some reason I had a John Goodman phase. I can't
John
exactly,
Goodman's great.
Yeah, but I was like 14 maybe, 12 maybe 14. Where am I getting John Goodman love from? Like, look, man, at 14, I'm not too proud to admit I did not have like film taste.
When you say phase, what kind of phase?
That phase came later.
Okay. Was it
this one was just strictly a I was like, man, I
was
love
it
this
a bag
John Goodman
of
guy.
Wet socks phase.
It was really this was a bag of dry socks phase.
Okay.
No wetness to the socks. Fluffy. Still new, clung to your legs, didn't fall down.
Stripes on it.
Very innocent. Gold toe. Very innocent socks.
Okay.
But my birthday was coming up. The John Goodman classic King Ralph was coming to theaters. I had my parents pay to have a bunch of 14-year-old friends go see King Ralph. And on my own birthday, my friends just dumped on me for what a bad movie King Ralph was and how I sucked for having them go to it.
That's a classic. People love King Ralph.
Do they?
Okay, it's probably one of those movies you fondly remember, then you go back and watch it. Yeah. It's like Lady Hawk for me.
Haven't
I used to think Lady Hawk was amazing. Went and watched it. I was like, this is hot trash right here. Okay, back to John Goodman.
I think that should be the Goonies for everyone, but for some reason people...
I still like the Goonies.
Lots of people can't figure out the Goonies is pretty bad.
I mean, it's not great, but it's still...
I'm not... I'll say...
still triggers something in me.
I'm not charmed by Goonies.
You're not?
I'm not charmed by Goonies.
All right.
I think it's not great, and I mean, you know, we can get into the whole, like, the character of Sloth didn't age well, and
no,
feels,
that doesn't
feels real weird.
Neither does Data.
No,
was Data, right?
He was Data in that. Yeah. Short Round. That character. No, that didn't
but
age well.
I'm
going
to tell you this, Jake. Two of my best friends when that was out, and Indiana Jones and the best.
Indiana Jones and the best heart rip.
In the
Indiana Jones and the best
Doom,
best
right.
dinner that you've ever
right.
been to.
For sure. They were Filipino, and they loved
that
actor.
That is,
those,
you know, that is a...
There was somebody that looked similar
That's
to
an
them.
Interesting thing I hear from that sort of era of television, or even worse, you want to go like, was it Long Duck Dong in Pretty in Pink?
Yeah.
Of like, that's really gross. But yeah, from that era, I mean, you know, you don't want to say it was a different time, because it did. I mean, even at a different time, people should have been able to go, like, this is really gross.
Right.
But for those people who had... It was one or the other. They had zero representation or you've got Short Round. I mean, it's not a great portrayal, but he is a hero. He is charming. He is...
Right.
He accomplishes things in the movie, so...
It's like America's Mayors back in the 80s. What did they have to choose from? Boss Hogg. That was it. Was he even the mayor? I don't think he was the mayor. Anyway, if you were a short, fat guy with a white suit and a cowboy hat in the 80s, the only person you had to look up to was Boss Hogg. It's a very similar situation.
Or Travis Tritt.
Well, Travis Tritt runs around with no pants on now. That's what he does now.
Is that a true thing?
That was like 5 years ago. He was so drunk that...
Travis Tritt news?
Oh, no. That was Randy Travis.
Hot
Sorry.
Time, Summer in the Tree.
Travis is getting his Travises confused.
Which one was Randy Travis?
It was Randy Travis.
He is a very Randy Travis.
Yes, he was. He was that night. No pants.
Hey, guess what we were talking about?
John Goodman.
John Goodman classic being remade. It is not King Ralph.
It's not King Ralph. Is it Flintstones with a horror?
It is not Flintstones. Okay. You know, they had their chance. Flintstones is not coming back.
I mean, I'm trying to think of John Goodman movies. The best one is probably Raising Arizona, but he's not the star of that.
Raising Arizona is very good.
Or Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski is really good. I want to revisit Always and see if it was as good as I remember it being.
Yeah, I haven't seen that forever.
Richard Dreyfuss.
I forgot you.
I'm Richard Dreyfuss.
Continue. Richard.
I'm trying to think of lines from Jaws now.
I like you're sticking just with
Mr. Holland's Opus. I'm Richard Dreyfuss and Mr. Holland's Opus.
Did I also do Gryffindor's Tribe?
That was after Mr. Holland's Opus.
He had a bad run of too long of names. So the hint in this is that it is a horror. Someone who is big in horror. What horror movie do you remember John Goodman being in? Everybody else has figured it out by now, Travis.
Was he in Arachnophobia?
He was in Arachnophobia. Okay, the way aggressive insect killer in
I remember now.
Arachnophobia. So that is, Arachnophobia is supposedly getting remade. How do you feel about Arachnophobia? How much of Arachnophobia do you remember besides John Goodman and that really big damn spider at the end?
Honestly, I don't remember very much of it. It's been so long. I think we watched it at a sleepover when it came out on video.
Yeah, I went and saw it years ago. And a friend of mine touched his cousin's hair, and I think he went straight through the ceiling.
So I don't remember very much of it, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's another one of those, like, is there a legacy to it that you would feel like you should be serviced by, you know what I mean? Like,
somebody's going to complain.
Would someone watch a remake of Arachnophobia and go like, oh, this just isn't like the original?
Probably. Somebody will.
The original was just, it was kind of a horror comedy-ish.
Yeah.
I don't remember that much. The whole gag was just like,
they're spiders. Here in the bananas, right?
You're going to come here and be uncomfortable.
It was in the bananas, right?
Were they? I think I seriously just told you the only two things I can remember about Arachnophobia was John Goodman going crazy and the spider at the end was insanely huge.
I don't even remember the spider at the end. So redo it. It's got to be better than eight-legged freaks.
Get him, right? Arachnophobia
Go
remake.
Get him, champ. So bring it on home. I want John Goodman to be in it, though.
You know what?
He's all jowly now.
From what I understand, his work schedule just got freed up considerably.
He's got stuff to do now. So,
you see this video of the FBI agent what did a flip and his gun fell out and discharged?
No.
Yeah. Let me see if it's on here while I talk about it. It's like, yeah, this
he did a flip?
He's dancing around at some sort of a cabana
party. Oh, so he was just dancing? It wasn't like he was chasing somebody?
Oh, no. There's a
commercial.
Stop doing that. Stop doing that commercial.
Hurry, throw a tire through the computer.
Oh, no. Turn this down. Turn it down. Turn it down. I just want him to be able to see it. Oh, live demo people. Okay, keep going. Anyways, you'll see it here once it comes up. But, yeah, some.
Where was the gun? Was it one of those, like, holsters up by
I want that armpits? That to be the surprise for you.
Okay.
This is professionalism at its peak. And there's so much to unpack in this video. I mean, first of all, he's doing a really bad dance.
That goes without saying.
White guy at a party dance.
Was he undercover?
God. Just so much of it to unpack. He's
he's charged with a felony, it says?
Second degree assault, which really comes across. See, look at this. So,
okay,
really going to... Oh, he's in a backyard? So did you see
that?
Was
that in like his butt crack? I saw it fly out. Was it in his back pocket?
It's like back
there.
Down
the back of his pants?
So the thing that I had saw it from was from a different angle. It looked like they were indoors. From here, it looks like they're outdoors. And he's really, he's getting the crowd riled up. And then opts to do a flip. A backflip.
And he
gun flies out. He goes for it and just fires into the crowd. Now, what you don't see in that video from the other angle, he gets back up. He it goes off. People just start scattering.
Right.
As, like you do.
You hear a gunshot anymore.
He gets up with this sort of, impish, like, my bad. Like,
Did I do that?
That's a gun.
Here's the even most disappointing thing. He had to use his hand to complete the flip. It wasn't a straight up backflip. He put his hand out.
Well,
I mean, come on.
It was improvised.
He was just feeling it. He hasn't done one of those in 15 to 20 years, I guarantee. He was just like, I think I still got it.
You think the reason that he is like, I can't, like, I'm not feeling confident. gun in my butt is going to be the thing that, like, I feel secure now.
I think if you have a gun in between your butt cheeks, gun it in my butt cheeks with the safety off. Right. Have you ever fired a gun, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of power earlier, firing a gun, right?
Speaking earlier about like that animal thing, like a lot of my formative years were spent hunting. I've shot guns on several occasions. It's.
Would you ever put said gun anywhere near?
That's one of those ones that I've always seen in movies when people just have the gun down the back of their pants, and I'm like, how is that working out?
This is a man that's gone to hours and hours of training, the correct way to carry a gun, the correct. Obviously, the safety wasn't on. If it went off, I mean, it. I guess it's some fluke where the safety came off and the trigger got triggered at the same time.
I believe part of the story did it because I saw this story a week or so ago as it was going on, and there was some hubbub about that model of gun having issues with that sort of like fallen discharge. But nonetheless,
I mean, if you read the instructions, it says very clearly. Do not put gun near butthole. I mean, everybody knows that. It's what they teach you in hunter safety. Do not put gun near butthole. It might go off.
But I've seen lots of movies where protagonist has gun in the back of their pants.
It's the last place you look.
It might be that it makes less sense to me because I don't have a butt. I have that Hank Hill disease. And so I would think it would just fall right through. Maybe it's like, maybe ample butt cheeks is a good holster?
What's the movie where somebody pulls out like a full rifle from back there?
That I don't know. Is that a comedy?
Yeah, I think so. Was it like Austin Powers or something? Or yeah. It's like somebody pulls an entire rifle out. What a dummy.
Gun safety, people, please.
Keep FBI, it going. It was FBI, right? FBI should know better.
Also FBI.
Right. You'd think they would know better.
Oh.
That's ridiculous. No wonder they can't catch Trump doing anything wrong.
Lottery winner picks up check, reveals identity to all. So, you win the lottery. Let's say you win the lottery.
Okay.
How do you handle it?
With grace and dignity. No, I'd probably tell everybody, see ya.
So I
go to Bermuda.
would you pick up and leave everything?
Mm,
are you the kind of person that would love to not live in Utah at this point?
I would love to move where I could do stand up full time, especially if I had the money. If I won the lottery.
You don't want to live in California, though.
Yeah, I mean, parts of California.
California sounds like this amazing nightmare landscape of, you know, like just everything's crazy expensive. Water is going away. They have something of a issue with homeless people.
I think the water is being stolen.
Yeah. Well, and that
somebody told me that they're losing as much water every month as they're using. I think the rich white people are stealing it. For their art.
That doesn't sound like the rich white people that I know.
Well, I mean, the ones I know.
Which is funny. I watched.
Exactly like them.
There is a new HBO series, Succession, and it is about the worst rich white people. And there's a part where Alan Ruck is playing a character who is bragging to a little girl about how he's got water rights and it's going to be more precious than gold someday. He'll share it with her, but no one else gets it.
He's right.
And it, stuff like that cuts frighteningly close.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. Clean water, you have to have it to live. We all thought it was crazy 20-something years ago with bottled water. That was like a ridiculous, like, bottled water? We have drinking fountains. Why do you need bottled water?
That is probably a large, if we're going to get into stuff like that.
You want to know my conspiracy theory about bottled water? Why do we have a drought? Because we have warehouses full of bottled water. Thousands, millions of gallons that aren't in the circulation, Jake.
Are you saying it's the rich white people again?
Yes. Otherwise, that would be in lakes or it would be in aquifers and going into streams, but it's not.
No, I think I ain't no kind of scientist.
It's not going up into the clouds and coming back down.
But yes, probably bottling a bunch of water just to store it is probably doing no favors for something like a drought.
Did you know until like a year ago, it was illegal for you to store your own rainwater?
I think that's a case by case. I think depending on where you are, that's sometimes it is illegal, sometimes it isn't.
That's crazy.
That's just because you get dumb things like, what was it? I didn't look a ton into it, but the whole raw water movement from the last couple of years of people just poisoning themselves because they're drinking that raw water.
Right. Well, I mean, I would put it on my lawn, but I wouldn't drink that.
Sometimes when you get down to it, lawns are a really weird invention.
Yeah, lawns are stupid.
All they do is drink water.
Basically.
That's, I mean, all they do.
You take your shoes off and walk in them once every 6 months. Maybe less. Maybe once a year.
I have dogs. Like, that's a dicey proposition to walk,
right.
Walk barefoot. I mean,
dogs don't care. They'll poop on anything.
It's disrespectful.
They will.
Rich white people and dogs. The worst. Let's get right down to it.
They are one and the same.
Yeah.
Where do you think dogs come from?
I thought they came from Jesus.
Nope. Rich white people. They're the ones that bred them. They were wolves. Did you know that? They were wolves.
They were wolves. Once were wolves.
They were wolves. Now they're our best friends, supposedly.
We breed them to be these tiny, like clinging, like the most adorable things that can barely breathe, and their hips will go out on them.
Yep. And then we spend thousands of dollars to get that fixed.
Oh, but I love them.
So they can poop on the lawn without pain.
I fight a daily battle. Some people fight against alcoholism. I fight a daily battle to not just go buy a pug.
Oh.
Because I know deep down it is just going to be the cutest bundle of, like, disease. Not disease, just like dysfunction and misery.
Pugs. I never got into pugs. I don't really get into a specific breed of dog either, though.
Well, I mean,
my dogs are both like mutts from the adoption, yeah. The super adoption thing. So they're whatevers. They're nice dogs.
What are your dogs' names?
Molly and Lily.
Sweet.
Yeah.
How long you had them?
I don't know. In dog years? About, I don't know. I think we've had them, Molly's probably about 7 years. And Lily, I think, is a little bit older because she had a puppy when we got her. We didn't get the puppy, though. And we've had for her for about 6.
You met our dogs on the way in, Haas and Bosco. Yeah. Haas hates men. We cannot hates figure men. It out. He hates men. Has no problem with women. I am one of the few. I have known him his whole life, and he barely tolerates me.
Have you seen A Dog's Life?
I have not seen A Dog's Life.
Neither have I, but I know it's about reincarnation for dogs. Maybe a man was bad to the Haas.
I guess it's entirely possible. But it's not like we have this weird hot-cold relationship where he will climb up on me and demand belly rubs and stuff like that. But later in the day, I might just be feeling it. Look, I don't need to feel bad about wearing tank tops. Sometimes I just want to wear a tank top. And I'll throw a tank top on and I'll walk into the room and he goes into a frenzy as though a man who sheaths toasters in rabbit pelts has just entered the room. And
dogs have super good hearing. Maybe somebody in the neighborhood's watching a lot of Rachel Maddow and Haas is just picking up on it.
It's entirely possible. But you were fortunate. You were spared that. We put them out, but we bought them vibration collars.
I've tried that.
It doesn't do the full job, but it's definitely improving things. And it is a little amusing to see them like wrestle with this thing of like, I want to bark so bad, but this thing that I can't see is freaking right. me out, man.
Our dogs chewed them off of each other. Not like chewed through their necks, but chewed through the collars. They freed each other.
Work teamwork.
Yeah. I mean, they're smart. They freed each other from the vibration. They're girl dogs.
Ours are not that smart, which
I don't know.
So
they're super sweet, but man, they'll bark sometimes. It's annoying.
It's a dog's life.
I don't get super attached to pets. There's a secret about me.
Oh?
Yeah, because they're going to die and then I'm going to feel sad.
Yeah, but so are people. Are you?
That's why I only watch Pixar movies once. I saw Up one time. I need to do that again.
I am the opposite. I am the softest. I am tissue soft. Attached to dogs I just met. It's going to come out eventually anyway, Travis. I bawl like a baby at the end of the Iron Giant every time.
Oh, yeah.
My son thinks it's hilarious. He will find ways to get that going, and he'll just sit and watch me. And I like being soft. It feels good to be soft sometimes like that.
Yeah, it does.
Travis, why can't you join me in Softopia?
It hurts too much.
Or does it hurt so good?
Childhood pets, man. That ruined me on pets. We've got pets. 2 dogs, 3 cats, 2 rabbits, a hamster, or is it a gerbil? I don't know. It's one of those miniature dwarf hamsters, so I don't think it's technically a gerbil.
And miniature dwarf hamster?
And a bunch of fish.
Isn't that just a hamster?
No, it's like, it looks like a mouse, but cute. It's got like cute eyes. I don't know. My daughter bought it. That's all I know. But we've got tons of pets, and I'll enjoy them once in a while, but I just don't want to get too attached. Because guess who's going to have to take care of them when
they
go?
I don't really get into those sort of B-tier pets like your hamsters and your rabbits, because those are very short-term pets.
We've had our rabbits for probably 5 years now. Yeah, I'm a little nervous every time I walk outside.
Every time you walk by a toaster, you get a little nervous.
I smell toast. Go check the rabbits.
So, the lottery. So one of the
that's where we were, the lottery.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, we're really cooking now. Kind of much like when I talked about you get older and you find out that things that you thought would have been awesome are kind of a bummer, is I think winning the lottery, if people end up knowing about it, which you want people to know about it, you're going to have to eventually hurt people you love's feelings, because they're going to need help and you can't.
Or run out of money.
Yeah.
Which is why I think a lot of people do. Don't most people end up in worse shape than before they won the lottery?
A lot of them. There was a great 30 for 30, excuse me, on
NFL players.
That one that's called Broke.
Yep.
That was the one. Like, anytime someone talks about, like, oh, well, boy, your life must be rough when you're that rich. Like, yeah, they kind of have to distance themselves. Much like a Travis Tate with any sort of pet, they have to distance themselves emotionally from everyone they know, because even their best friends at some point are probably going to need a favor.
I was watching, there's a documentary, sorry, I don't remember what it's called, but it's brand new on Netflix, and it talks about, they're like 15, 20 minutes long. This one specifically was about the wage gap between like races. And one of the things it talks about is, yeah, sometimes, you know, a black person will go to college and they'll do really well. But a lot of times they're the first person in their family to do that, to go through college, to actually start making some money. So people start coming around and they're helping everybody. So they're not really getting ahead like so-and-so that was in the same class as them and has the same job, and they're doing much better because their family is also doing much better. But they feel obligated to help out where they can. So they're a little bit handcuffed as far as, you know, growing their estates and things.
Yeah, stuff like that is very interesting to me, and I'm not gonna claim being informed about it, but you know, the more I learn about things like that, the more it's like, oh man, like, the more I get sad every time I do come in contact with someone who does that. Much like the guy you say, this black gentleman who, this theoretical black gentleman who's gone to college, that guy is also gonna have the burden of becoming every that guy, white guy around him going like, well, but what about theoretical black guy? He did fine. It must mean that everybody's doing fine.
Right.
It's a tough road.
It makes me think of that episode of The Office where Michael Scott promises all those kids in that urban school that he will send them all to college because he thought he was going to be a millionaire in 20 or 15 years. And then he gets to the school. And he can't afford to send any of them to college.
It's been a rough chat.
Oh, man. Did you ever see that episode?
I,
they sang the song about him.
Never watched The Office.
Oh, my gosh. That's The Office will give you the douche chill sometimes just because it's so awkward. But, man, that one takes the cake. That was,
I do have a hard time with it. That was an amazing episode. I struggle with awkward TV.
It's hard. That one was hard to watch. All right, back to the lottery.
The point of this all being, this woman, I was going to try and get there. This woman, she picked up her lottery check in an emoji mask so as to have no one ever know who she is.
Wow. That's a good idea. And they must have been out of poo masks.
My poo son emoji. Has a poo mask. Thanks, poo emoji, for being that.
Who'd have thought the poo emoji would be more famous than Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, we do have that Winnie the Pooh movie coming out. Disney. Christopher Robin. Disney is only in the business of Marvel, Star Wars, and a live-action version of things that they made that were good at one point.
I know there's a Dumbo trailer. I can't bring myself to watch it.
I watched that earlier. You know what?
Somebody said it'll make you cry, so I didn't watch it. We know how I feel about animals making me cry.
Why would it's a fake elephant. Why would it make me cry?
Because it's got big ears.
The problem is it seems like it has unnaturally big eyes, like anime eyes, and that's the part where I can't really I couldn't really get with it.
Does it cover its mouth when it laughs?
also the from the imagination of Tim Burton was the part where it's kind of like, yeah, I don't think I can feel anything. I distanced myself from it like Travis Tate with a pet.
Is it like creepy clowns and stuff? If it's no, Tim Burton, like, that's what I assume.
Tim Burton doesn't really. Him. Tim Burton is like that stuff light anymore. Yeah. I think anyway.
He's not Alice in Wonderland.
He's not really the guy
of his career. I hated those movies. I don't hate a lot of movies. I didn't like those at all.
Couldn't bring myself to.
I like almost everything. but I did not like those movies.
I get accused a lot of hating everything.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I'll find something at least kind of good about most things, but I did not like Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
I have so little time to myself anymore that I get so mad when I go like, why did they even make this?
This is like a pile of wet socks.
And right now...
smells like chicken piss.
Right. Travis, how do you know what chicken piss smells like?
I don't. I just said it the other day and I thought it was funny, so I thought I'd repeat it here. And then I Googled. I'll be honest with you. I Googled, do chickens urinate? They don't. It comes out in their poop. That's what the white stuff in their poop is. Everybody, you just learned some science.
These are the reasons why we have these episodes.
But I just thought... smells like chicken piss was funny.
Yeah.
That smells like chicken piss. Now you we can what? Use probably wet accurate. Socks, pile of wet socks.
That might be an insult to chicken piss. But I just realized that I was getting confused that you were talking about Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, and I was thinking about the recent Oz movies.
Yeah, that wasn't great either.
Those are kind of the same thing in my mind.
A lot, yeah. Mm. It was all green screen.
It's all garbage, people. Nothing's good anymore.
James Franco, really? You could have got anybody. I remember originally
you could have got anybody. That anybody could have been Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't always just get anybody.
I know they wanted RDJ for it in the first. Robert Downey Jr.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that would work. That would work.
I mean, he's at least got personality, unlike James Franco.
Yeah, in one of the few cases, I can see why going for someone younger makes sense, where they're going that far back.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody that actually is entertaining.
I mean, hey, you know, I get behind Franco sometimes. He has his ups and his downs for me. So anyway, I think we have what's called an episode here.
I think so too.
What do you think?
This is our first over an hour episode.
Boy.
Wow.
I hope
Who
when
made
I go,
it this far.
Yeah. I hope when I go back it doesn't feel like we stretched much.
I don't think so. I mean, it's not like we were stretching a rabbit over a toaster or anything. It just happened naturally. It's like the rabbit fell on the toaster. It just tripped and fell, officer. Happened much. I don't know. Yeah. All right. It's weird.
Well, on that note, thank you, anybody who's in on this so far. You know what? While we're at it, do you have any plugs, Travis? Anything if we happen to have a couple of two or three people local checking this out? Is there anywhere people can see anything like that?
Let's see. This should be out soon. I'll be at the Utah Arts Festival. That is June. I don't know whatever next week is. This would have been better if I knew what the dates were. Anyway, if you know when the Utah Arts Festival is, I'll be there. Big Mouth Stage. It's by the library. It's usually there. And I think it's around 4:30, 5:30, somewhere in there. Just look it up. Google it. It knows more than I do. I'll be there. I'll be emceeing those shows. So I'll be there all 4 days.
Hope to
Thursday
catch
through Sunday.
If you want to catch me, I will be online playing Fortnite badly all the damn time. Good luck catching me. You're not going to. So there. So this has been Late to the Party with Travis Tate. I'm Jake, and...
this is Travis Tate and Better Tate Than Never.